News Talk Breakfast.
In association with Air. Keeping Ireland connected with no limits data on Air Mobile.
Sadly, we turn to that story that 10 more people have died from COVID-19 here. 200 new cases as well have been diagnosed. That brings the total number of confirmed cases to just over 2,500. For more on this, we're joined by Anne O'Connor, the Chief Operations Officer of the HSE. Anne, I appreciate that it is impossible to say with any degree of certainty when the peak of this will be, but the reports are, and they were there yesterday, they're there this morning, that the planning for the peak is mid-April. I wonder, could you just expand a little bit on that, what that planning looks like and how long the peak might last?
Just to be clear, I don't know, and I don't know if anybody does know when a peak might be. The National Public Health Emergency Team are looking at modelling. They've engaged Professor Philip Nolan to carry out a very significant piece of work looking at the modelling of this disease in Ireland. From our perspective, however, it's about the operational capacity planning. So as you'll appreciate, the HSE is a very large organisation. We have, 17 delivery organisations within it. So we have to pick a point in time by which we make sure we have the right capacity in place. And we're working to mid-April. How long it lasts, I don't know the answer to that either. And again, for us, it really is about having the right resources in the right place at the right time. But we would see this going on in terms of the overall position in the health service. We'll be looking after people for some time who are ill and who need our services.
How close are we to having the right amount of beds and the right amount of equipment and the right types of equipment in place?
I think before we start talking about beds, I might just say a word just in terms of, beds are the end of this pathway for us in terms of the public and health services and information. What we are re-emphasising all the time is that our need for any bed is greatly reduced by people actually adhering to the messaging around physical distancing, hand washing, all of the things that everybody can do to help our health services, really. The more that people can do, the more control there will be on the infection and the less we will need beds. So for us, beds are just one part of the picture. We are also putting in place clinical assessment hubs, and they will be a primary point for people who are at home, who have the condition, and who maybe have symptoms and aren't feeling well. They are going to start being put in place this week. We hope to have one in each of the 9 community health organisations, and we will grow those over the coming weeks as the need arises. And that's very important for us because that will allow a pathway for people who have symptoms and who aren't well. That means they don't have to go to a GP practice. So we're working with GPs on this, and it's about having another pathway for people who are COVID positive. If people then require an admission after they have been through that pathway, they will then come in to our acute hospitals, and then we will have, a number of people who will require very high-end or critical care. Already today, we know that we have over 2,000 empty beds in our acute hospitals. We've been doing a lot of work in making sure that we create capacity in our hospitals so that we can deal with people coming in. And today, we still have over 2,000. In terms of ICU beds, we still have about 160 empty ICU beds. So we have beds, but we will grow them as we need to.
In terms of the ICU beds, Tony Holohan, the Chief Medical Officer in the Department of Health, had suggested that, look, we were not that far away within a couple of weeks, given the rate at which the disease is spreading, of those ICU beds being full. And the reports in the UK and in other countries are that, look, once you get to capacity, once you surpass that point, that there are no more ICU beds, that survival rates plummet for people. And that's the same in any developed health service. I assume it's the same here.
I think there's no doubt but that our hospital system and our ICU capacity will come under very significant pressure. How we're looking at this, and there's been a big focus on counting ICU beds, but in a way, for us, we just have to have beds. So what we're looking at is, something slightly different to our traditional ICU capacity, where we've always had a number of less than 250. We know we're going to need much more than that. So we're looking at having beds that might not be in your traditional ICU departments that we will turn into ventilated beds for critical care. So for us, it's about having, beds that are slots that we can put beds in with a ventilator and with the right staff. And we will grow that, and we will have, we will have in excess of, of 2,000 ventilators in a couple of weeks. So it's not about the shortage of equipment we're addressing. We're not that concerned about that. But we have to grow our ICU capacity. But there is no doubt but that the system will be under very significant pressure. And that reinforces again the need for all of us to do what we can do to reduce the need for that very high end of care by taking care of ourselves, staying at home, and reducing the spread of the infection.
At what point will the HSE utilise the private hospitals?
There's discussions ongoing now. The private hospitals have around 2,000 beds. It's our intention to start using those beds very soon. And those beds really will support the health system by taking people from the hospitals who are maybe there for other reasons. One of our big challenges, as I've often said, is that we have to do other things too. So for us, it's not just about responding to COVID. We have to look after the people who are sick with many other things before this ever started. Maybe for people to be seen in those hospitals who aren't necessarily sick with COVID-19, but could have other, you know, cancers, heart problems, etc.
All right, we'll leave it there. Anne O'Connor, Chief Operations Officer of the...